It has the potential to be the finest generation ever. And one of the reasons is they truly have a global look. They're worried about individual connections and how my actions impact somebody who lives clear across the world, and my consumption makes a difference for someone else in resource. And I don't know that we've ever had a generation that had that true global look.
This is a podcast called Walk, Talk, Listen. An attempt to connect people and make this world a bit better by sharing opinions and experiences based on the belief that everyone's perspective is true, albeit partial. My name is Maurice Bloem, and I would like to welcome you to yet another episode of Walk, Talk, Listen.
Well, my name is Sharon Eubank, and I'm the president of Latter-day Saint Charities, which is the humanitarian organization of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I also serve in its women's organization, which has about 8 million women around the world. But one of the more interesting things about me, which I often don't tell people, is that for many years I owned a toy store. And people think, how does that relate, you know, to the work that you have right now? But bringing people joy and helping them with whatever resource they have, get as much as they can, those are kind of transferable skills. And I have fond memories, especially at Christmas time, of owning that toy store. And in a lot of ways, it helps me do what I do now.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, you know, this is not in my script. So what was your favorite toy that you were selling?
Oh, I had so many. The best thing about that was you would get a new toy, something had just come, and you'd go out and try it yourself. I'd take it to a park, and pretty soon you'd have a knot of people who are gathered around you saying, where did you get that? What is that? It was that's a fun amazing way to interact.
Great. Okay. That's wonderful. Well, you know, we will have to discuss one day, you know, what ultimately made you decide to move to what you're doing now. But, you know, one of the main reasons that we meet today is that actually you and I were supposed to walk together for my this year's 100-mile walk, because I would start or finish in Utah. Unfortunately, that could not happen. You still went out and walked like I also did, you know, in my own environment. But I'm so pleased that we will, you know, have this opportunity to discuss with each other, because that is what we would have done. You know, that's what you do when you walk with somebody else. Well, you know that I walk to raise awareness and funds to end poverty and hunger and related things, and especially with the focus on refugees. If you would be asked to walk an extra 100 miles, what would be, you know, the cause that you would do it for?
Well, first of all, I love the question, because it brings up that very famous passage in the Bible where Jesus says, if you're compelled to walk a mile, then walk too, you know, give freely of that. And so, of course, this is an echo of that, which I really love. What drives me in my life is helping people get access to things that they need that there's some kind of barrier for. And I'll do a lot to help somebody get that. And what I like about walking 100 miles, it's a physical action that we have to do with our bodies that shows solidarity and shows willingness. And most of the time, I think the Lord requires the heart and a willing mind, and He'll provide the rest of the resource if you'll provide the heart and the willing mind. And so I guess it's not as specific, but it's if my passion in life is trying to help people get access to the things that they need when there's a barrier. And so.
What drives you in life, actually, you know? And because I think that would probably have to do is why you made a shift then from working in the toy store of what you're doing now, or maybe not. So what drives you in life, Sharon?
during that time, it was a long time ago, Yugoslavia was breaking apart, and there was, you know, the campaigns on Kosovo and Montenegro and different places, Serbia. And I remember seeing a woman on the news, and she had been forced to leave her house, and she either wasn't wearing shoes or her shoes had fallen apart, but she was older and her just these black feet frozen, you know, from being walked. And I could tell from her clothing that she was a middle-class woman. She was she was living a life like mine. And it struck me at that time. And everybody has this experience. You see things on the news, you read things, and you think, what could I as an individual, what could I possibly do to help that woman in Srebrenica? You know, all of what, how could we ever get connected? I feel her need, but I don't know what to do about that. And that's one of the reasons that I stopped that career and wanted to go into something. I wanted my life to mean more than just retail sales. And I used to think that it was about resources. You've got to connect resources. People have resources and don't, you've got to connect them. What I learned over time is that there are greater barriers than just the resources, and corruption is one of the greatest ones. The hardest thing for people to have what they need, the biggest barrier, is that there is corruption, people who are in the way trying to divert it towards someone else, or to make a profit off of it, or that just simply out of prejudice or whatever. And the ability to go around that barrier is what drives me to either reduce prejudice or show an interest that it is in your interest that the whole community can thrive, or to connect people so that their prejudices go down and they recognize we are more friendly. We have more in common than we thought. And we're not going to be divided by nationality or religion or all of those things that seem to bring up conflict. So that's my greatest passion.
Oh, and you know, the work that you're doing now, or, you know, the position that you have now, is that enabling you to, you know, to do what you would like to do and contribute to, or?
I started as a shipping clerk with Latter-day Saint Charity. So my work was to get things that were stuck in customs for a variety of reasons. So you ship something that people need, but it's stuck there in storage. And how do you get it off? That's a very intricate skill set. But I was really glad I learned that, because as the president of Latter-day Saint Charities, I usually meet with government leaders who have needs, but you know, there are barriers, or I work with other faiths like Church World Service, trying to find, we have different goals and different aims and sometimes different beliefs, but where's the common ground? What can we do that we all feel strongly about, that we can agree upon, and then move forward? And so I get the opportunity. I recognize I'm representing millions of Latter-day Saints who have given $20 or, you know, a little bit of money, or are volunteering to help. I represent them in their hopes and goals. And so I feel the responsibility of that. But I sometimes get to be the one who is on site in a war zone or in a conflict zone, to see the needs and then see what can we do to address the needs.
Yeah, I would like to piggyback a bit on, you know, I think religion is really important for you. And then you also talked about, you know, connecting, you know, to make things work and to move forward. And, you know, during my walks, I end up very often talk about, you know, what's the purpose in life, but also about, you know, if we look at the world, how is the next generation? How are they manifesting themselves? How do they find meaning, etc.? And you know, people who are always have listened to me already on this podcast maybe get bored by that. I continue to repeat, but I can't stress enough that you have to be very careful in saying the next generation, because they are very diverse. You know, there are all kinds of subcultures, etc. But let us assume for a moment, you know, to look at the next generation. And your from your point of view, if you look at this next generation, in terms of religion and spirituality, do you see a shift happening? Because some of the people that I've walked with, they say yes, you know, they are very different to what it used to be. Others are saying no, actually, they're very much the same, but maybe the institutionalization of religion is different. So, you know, church is playing a different role for them. Well, you have any thoughts around that? Things that you see?
When I was a young woman, probably 21, I was doing my volunteer mission with the church, and I was in Finland, and I was assigned to be with another woman from Austria. So we didn't know each other, you know, we were together. We were so different that it was hard for us to connect as we worked together for two or 3 months. But we remained connected, and as adults, we connect better. So she came to visit me in my office, and she became a big executive at a European bank. And she came to me, and we were having lunch, and we're now 50. And she said, "Now I've done everything I wanted to do in my profession. What I want to do for the next 10 years is focus on people who are just entering the bank. I want to help them be successful. That's the work for the next 10 years. And that sort of blew my mind apart of, it's not really about me. It's about, say, people who are under 30. They are the leaders. They're the future leaders and the current leaders right now that the world depends on. And so this idea of focusing on them and trying to pass on what we've learned and our hopes and dreams, it sounds really nice, but they're different. They're just like my friend and I. They have a different perspective. Their experiences are different, and they look for different things that might be different than when I did 40 years ago. But if you asked me about this generation, I think it has the potential to be the finest generation ever. And one of the reasons is they truly have a global look. They're worried about individual connections and how my actions impact somebody who lives clear across the world, and my consumption makes a difference for someone else in resource. And I don't know that we've ever had a generation that had that true global look and feeling the passion of it, connection. And so they're worried about causes. They want to buy things that are connected to a cause. They want to put their personal energies into things that make a difference for other people. You can't manufacture that feeling. It has to grow up from people's hearts. And I really sense that hope and that desire to get involved and do something in this generation.
Well, I have to say, I can't agree with you more. And although I try to stay neutral in this podcast a bit, you know, to really listen to my guests. But again, I've talked as part of this podcast with a number of really young people. I mean, one of the previous podcasts I talked with Abe, and he, you know, he started his own organization with his brother when he was 14 or 15 years old. I think he's 19 now. It's amazing. You know, he's very articulate and exactly what you're saying, very global, very aware that we are in this together, that we are all interconnected, and that we can only solve the challenges that are ahead of us, you know, together. And I hope that this podcast is contributing a little bit in, you know, showing these different perspectives and the potential. And the premise of this podcast is, you know, everybody's perspective is true but partial. So that means that you can always find, you should always be able to find a start for a conversation with someone else. And a conversation is a start of dialogue, and then, you know, ultimately a more peaceful and better world. Some people think that I'm maybe naive, but I really believe that.
Please stay naive. Please stay naive. I just love that.
Thanks for sharing that, Sharon. Talking a little bit about, you know, challenges and stuff. What are your worries at the moment? What is going on in the world? What are your worries? And then right after that, you know, your hopes, because, you know, at the end of the day, we would like to continue to be hopeful. At least I do.
Well, probably like a lot of people, I'm worried about the cohesion that holds us together as societies. And we're so polarized about so many different things. And there are many people who believe that religion is the source of conflict because people cannot be true to their own faith and yet still be cooperative with other people. We have a hard time with that in anything. Mm. But I've seen the statistics that 80% of the world's population identifies with a faith and tries to follow that faith in some way. And mm-hmm. and the greatest teachings of the world's great religions are the golden rule of think of others as of yourself, and that that God is no respecter of persons, and that everyone has a right to their feelings, to their faith and their expressions, but we have to get along with each other and we have to cooperate. And that's the great premise of civilization, is how can very different people cooperate enough to get along? And from my HOA, you know, my homeowners association, mm-hmm. where there's always conflict for people who live in the same neighborhood, to parent teacher, student associations. But I think sports and music are some of the greatest examples where people suspend their differences enough to get along. Over the summer, I read, it is probably a very well-known book, but I read that book called The Boys in the Boat. I think it's written by Dan James Brown, mm-hmm. I think is his name. But it's the story of a rowing team, an 8-man rowing team from the University of Washington, who went to the Olympics in 1936. And they were poor. They came, and it's in the middle of the Depression in the United mm-hmm. States. And they were there, like one guy that the book wrote about, he's just on the rowing team because they give him a place to live at the university if you're on the team. And he needed that to be able to study. And their towns, these little lumber towns, gave tiny bits of money for them to be able to travel because the university couldn't pay for them to go to Berlin. So they qualified, but they had to come up with the money. And one of the things in the rowing world that they talk about is a term called swing. And it's when every person in the boat is adjusting their differences so that you get, the rhythm is so in sync that it's almost as if they're flying, and they're moving together in perfect unison. And in order to do that, you don't want robots. You don't want everyone to be the same when you're choosing a team. You want people to have the ability, if your arms are longer, you pull in a little bit. If your arms are shorter, you're gonna reach a little bit until you reach that swing. Mm. And when they competed in Berlin, it's rare, some people never go a generation without experiencing that swing. This team found it. And everyone watching from the sides of the river was just in awe. It looked like they were flying across the water without any effort at all. And I think about that example. What does it take for us, very different people, to get in the same boat, we care about the same goal, and then adjust ourselves mm-hmm. so that we could be in enough sync to achieve our goals? And I'm worried about that because we're not doing as well as we could, but I believe in all ways it's possible. We suspend all kinds of things for sports, for music, for traffic. Mm-hmm. We can do it. We just have to want to do it. And the most energizing part of my life is to see people who do it well. And I think Church World Service is a great example of cooperating for a goal, mm-hmm. adjusting to differences, and doing it well.
No, yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, and great, great example. I don't know the book, so I will sort that out. Thank you so much. You know, talking about sports and music, you know, is there, if I would ask you to mention a piece of music or a song that embodies, you know, for a big part, what you are about, what song or piece of music would you mention?
This is such a hard question. My musical tastes are so eclectic. I should choose something that's a rock and roll anthem, you know, that people would respond to. But there, over the Christmas holidays, I spent time listening to Handel's Messiah. And I'm not that kind of a music lover. But because of the soaring music that goes along with that text, you get to that piece that says, "He's wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And I just weep when I hear that. It's my own faith in Jesus Christ. He motivates everything that my life is about. And just that ability to, he was the most powerful and he gave power to others. Mm. And to me, that's a, it's a metaphor for my love and my life. And I try to be like him in everything that I do, but he is the mighty God and he is the counselor. And I hope that I'll be with him when he's the Prince of Peace. And I hope we all can. I hope we build peace.
Yeah, you know, we slowly coming to an end of our conversation. Any last message for the listeners?
I talked about service. I talked about music and sports mm-hmm. and things that bind us together. But I think service is also one of those things. When we do something that doesn't benefit us, it's not for our resume. It's not, we're not getting paid, but we do it because we care about what's happening to other people and we want our community to be better. There's something about that that overleaps barriers and really bonds us together. And when we do it, especially in a way that isn't congratulating ourselves, I think we learn so many things. Givers and receivers both rise up. I'm gonna just give a little example. In a women's shelter in West Virginia, it was Christmas time and the community got together and they made stockings and things for the kids and then they delivered them on Christmas Eve and the kids were so excited. But one of the members noticed that the mothers standing by, their faces were just wretched. They felt like failures because they couldn't provide Christmas. Mm-hmm. They had to rely on the community. So the next year, instead of the way they had done it before, they stocked a store at the shelter with things and then the women, by doing extra jobs or things, they got little credits and they could buy for their own children those things. The community never got that emotional kick of seeing the kids unwrap things that they had provided, but the mothers felt successful. And that kind of service we can do so much more of that. There's interest, there's desire. The young generation is interested in that. And I love it when I see it happen, and not in a self-congratulatory way, but in a way that cares about the people who are receiving it. And for platforms like Just Serve, which is a community mm-hmm. place where you can type in your zip code and it'll connect you with all kinds of service opportunities, the ability to connect people, or like a hunger walk, this is an issue I care about, come walk with me, we're going to talk about things we care about. Those things are some of the most important things in life. I dedicated my life to them. I know you have, and I know millions of other people have. And that brotherhood and sisterhood is really important to me as a Christian, mm-hmm. as Latter-day Saints, as a community member, as a mm-hmm. brother and a sister, all children under one God.
Yeah. When you go there on your website, you made it possible for people to find all kinds of things to do, right, to help other people. And yes, you know, of course, I'm biased towards some of the things that my organization does. But yeah, I think I have to applaud you to for connecting your community to an enormous wide range of opportunities to. Yeah, I always say to kind of walk the talk one step at a time. You know, it doesn't have to be huge, but a small step forward, you know, ultimately that makes a big difference. So, yeah, thank you for doing that. And also thank you for making the time today to talk with me. Listening to you, I really feel even worse that we were not able to walk with each other, you know, last year. Hopefully, you know, the future will bring us in a situation where we can walk with each other in person. In the meantime, we will continue to walk in spirit with each other and make this world a little bit better. So thank you so much, Sharon, for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
What you do. Thank you for listening to Walk, Talk, Listen. Please check us out on www.100mile.org or follow us on Facebook or Instagram.